You can go. I went to New York to learn how to do public speaking better. And again, I thank you for your help with that. And I learned a lot of good things. And I trust that can be a benefit to me and to you. But when it comes down to it, and I'm not calling you dead bones, that's not the point. But Ezekiel, God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, thou knowest. In other words, I'm not sure. Sound like a trick question, God. You know. And God told Ezekiel, prophesy. And I don't know, it doesn't say what he said. But he prophesied to these dead bones. And they came together, and the sinews and the muscles and the organs, everything came together. And they were perfect bodies, I guess, or restored bodies at least. And there was still no life. And then God said, prophesy to the wind. And the wind came and filled them, and they stood up a great army. And unless the Spirit moves in my sharing, and maybe even more so in your hearing, I can have we can get the best preacher from anywhere, and he can do all the prophesying he wants to do. And if the wind doesn't come into these bodies and fill them, they're going to be dead bodies. So my prayer, my invitation to you tonight is that we would just simply intentionally come to the Lord and ask Him to soften our hearts. Try to put away the things. I know we're busy. I know we have lots of things. We have schedules and things to worry about, what we're doing tomorrow and whatever. But I guess what I want to do is just give us opportunity to do self-reflection. Part of communion, and Paul, when he talked about taking communion, said, so let a man examine himself. And I think it's something that we've kind of, I don't want to be too general here. I have, and I know many of us have lost the art or the ability or the time or whatever you want to call it to do self-reflection, self-examination, looking at ourselves. So I'm going to ask you to kneel, and let's just come to the Lord this evening. If it's hard for you to kneel, don't feel like you have to. Lord, still our hearts this evening before you. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would liven our dead bones, these bodies and minds and souls that can do nothing except you help us. Lord, we're so often callous to what you have to say. We're so often preoccupied. There's so much noise. Help us tonight to hear you. I pray that each heart, each mind, each ear would be open. And Lord, we just want to lay our hearts before you as an open book. Show us our nature. Show us our passions. Give us strength. Make us alive. Bless each one that's here. Pray tonight, Lord, that your kingdom would be built, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up.
Lord, in the parable of the sower, the seed was good. Your word was good. You were the sower, and you were good. But the condition of the soil determined whether the seed could have any effect. And it was up to the soil. I pray, Lord, that our soil, the soil of our hearts, would be soft, would be deep, would be fertile, would be unhindered by stones, by cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, all of these things that cloud our vision, that get in the way of us seeing and knowing and following and fellowshipping with you. Come, Holy Spirit, and move among us. We thank you, we give you the glory, and we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
I think this one's used, and I think if I used it, someone else would probably be grossed out, so I won't. But could somebody get me a glass of water? I would appreciate it, please. Unless it is a new one. Is it a new one? Okay. I said something a couple weeks ago about liking to hear the pages turn and encouraging parents. If you weren't here, I'll say it again. Parents, I think it's just really good if we can encourage our children to bring their Bibles and to have them and to read along. However, tonight I'm going to ask you just to listen. I've got the words that I'm going to be reading. I have printed out on pages, so I won't be turning to them. And again, another thing I like is when you stay awake in church, if you feel like you can hear better by closing your eyes, we'll assume you're listening. We'll assume you're meditating. But I just invite you to truly, let's just open our hearts to the Lord. First of all, I'm going to read from a couple of passages in 1 Corinthians 9, 10, and 11. I don't think I'm going to give all the references. I'm just going to read. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. I wanted to say one other thing. We will have time for sharing afterwards. If there's something you want to say or share, I guess just mind the Spirit. Run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. In other words, self-controlled. Athletes have self-control. They are temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus. Thank you. Not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or the sharing in of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or sharing in of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Going into Revelation, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold, refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And now I'm going to take just a few verses from Acts, and we're going to go back to Revelation, but just follow what he's saying here. This is in Acts, and it's talking about Paul, and it says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus. That's the word I wanted, that verse, Ephesus. And called for the elders of the church. So Paul was in Miletus. He sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. That's in verse 17. Down in verse 28, he's talking to these elders. After they've come, he says, up until then, he says, I've told you the full counsel of God. My conscience is clear. I've told you, I've taught you things, everything I know, the full counsel of God. And then in verse 20, he said, and I'm leaving and I won't be coming back. He knew that he was going to Jerusalem, and the Spirit had told him he wasn't going to be coming back. He said, take heed to yourselves. He's talking to the leaders in Ephesus. That's what we have to get here. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. I guess I missed a verse there. The next verse says something to the effect of, and some of these wolves will come out from you yourselves. Now, going back to Revelation and the church to Revelation 2:1, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. So this would have been about 20 years later, 18 years later, I'm not sure exactly, something like that, from the time that Paul warned them of this to the time that Revelation was written. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. They were following his advice. They were watching for the wolves in sheep's clothing. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. A couple of these, we think that that's not us, but Jesus said, he mentions adultery and fornication here, and murder. Jesus said, if you look at a woman in lust, you're guilty of fornication or adultery. Jesus said, if you hate someone, you're guilty of murder. Drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And right after he gives this list of sin and fruit of the Spirit and making it obvious what we should strive to be and what we will be in Christ. And this is where I want this to be a message of hope. Immediately following that, so any one of us, I think if we're honest, can go through that list and say, oh, I see, when we're in the sinful area, I can see where I'm susceptible to that or where that, wherever we might be in that. And then in the fruits of the Spirit, I really need to grow in this area. I long for more of that. The first verse in the next chapter says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. If we can have that mindset, both where I feel free to share with you and where your mindset is, well, hey, let's restore this guy. Let's help this guy. I think sometimes we have the mindset, I'm not going to share. I'm going to look dumb or I don't know what you're going to say. And maybe sometimes we have the outlook that if somebody does share, well, they're obviously a pretty carnal Christian. This is where what you do affects me. What I do affects you. What we do affects each other. We can be a tremendous asset to each other. We can be a tremendous burden to each other. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Psalm, and here's the psalm talking to God now. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. I said I wasn't going to share a message, but I'm going to give an example tonight. I'm going to try to be vague. Let's see, how shall I say this? I don't want to embarrass anyone. Or maybe I'll just embarrass him. Ryan and I have had this thing ongoing for a while, and he's doing very well, so he doesn't have to be ashamed of any of this. But he's dealt with some fears, fears of the dark, fears of whatever. And I purposely had him, I need a screwdriver from the barn, and I'll have him go by himself. It's about 20 feet from the house, and he's learning to do really well with it, but the point I want to make is the other well, it's been a while now. We had just a really, you know, one of those teachable moments, and there was an instance where he had to do something, and it was a little bit scary, but he went ahead and did it. And I asked him later, "Were you scared?" And he said, "Oh, not really." And I stopped him. I said, "Were you scared?" "Well, kinda." And we talked about it. I said, "You know what?" And we used numbers. It took a little while for me to get through what I was saying, but and this is what I want you to get. There's a truth that is true no matter what we say. So we're going to use that story, and this is what we talked about. Ryan, are you okay with me talking about you like this? Okay. So I told him, let's just for the sake of illustration, let's say that no fear at all is a zero. Okay, so if, like for me, for instance, to go out to the barn at night, that doesn't bother me. So my fear level's at a zero. Now let's say that you're in the woods at night and you can hear the grizzly bear behind you and he's coming closer. Your fear level is going to go up a little bit, right? So we'll say that's a 10. So you have no fear is down here at 0. As scared as you can be is up here at 10. And I told him, I said, let's say that your fear level was a 3. Let's just say it was a 3. If you tell me it was only at about a 1, does that change how scared you were? It might make you feel better about himself, but does that change how afraid you were? Well, not really. I said, what if I say, oh, you were a big sissy and I know you was at least an 8. Does that make it true that you were that much afraid? He said, no. I said, so when I ask you that, you should just say, my fear level is probably at about a 3. That's how scared I was. Saying I wasn't afraid doesn't make the truth any different. Doesn't make it true that I wasn't afraid. And you telling me that I was afraid, or me telling him that he was afraid, doesn't prove that he's some kind of a chicken because I said so. So when we look at ourselves, here it says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. When I come to church, there's a reality in what I'm doing in my life. There's a reality that's true in my love for God, my love for stuff and money and entertainment, my addiction to whatever. There's a truth there. And when I say, oh, it's under control. It's down here somewhere. I've got it pretty well under control. And it's not. That doesn't change reality at all. We might as well just be true. We might as well just be honest with each other. You know what? I'm a mess right now and I need help. I don't love coming to church. I don't know why I feel so dead inside. Whatever it might be. And just be real. There's no putting on a front doesn't change reality one iota. And we often talk about how we want the reality to be instead of where we're at. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me by your generous spirit. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it to you. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I just want to give a little bit of time for reflection, for thinking, for whatever it might be. I think it just does us good. It does us good to think. We're not thinking about how do I how do I make this look good? Maybe we can be tempted to be on the other side. I really ought to say something so that people don't think I'm a better than you. We're just talking about truth. I want us to be able to come to communion on Friday night with a real desire to commune with each other. A freedom to do so. Hearts of love, hearts that are open before God and man. I realize in 1 Corinthians 11, where he says that they that, or maybe it's in 10. Let's see, I'm right here. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, and the King James says unworthily, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The immediate context there is that it sounds like they were cutting in line. The rich were going first and eating all the food and so on. And it was becoming more of a quick get through the line and get as much as you can. So that's the immediate context there. But I believe also, if you take the other scriptures concerning communion, the unworthy manner can mean, well, basically it means not taking it seriously enough. The way they were acting by not taking it seriously enough was they were getting drunk and eating as much as they could. But there's other, he talks about discerning the Lord's body. So, I think that covers a number of, it's a multifaceted, a multi-sided thought there. There's more than one way to partake unworthily in an unworthy manner. So, I'm just going to be quiet, if you can believe that. And if you have something to share, raise your hand. Do we have an usher ready with the mic? And I want this to be an opportunity to share. I don't want you to feel pressured to share. Like I said, just mind the Spirit.